What's up, guys? Man, it's so good to see you. Go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. Good job. Good job singing tonight. So we are in part four of a series that we're doing called Hooper. Hooper. It's the story of Jesus. And we're getting this word Hooper from it's from a text, or I'm sorry, it's from a Greek word that means to be doing something for someone. Hooper means I did it on your behalf. I did it for you. There was something you couldn't do, so I did it for you. That's what the word Hooper means. And here's what I'm throwing at us. I'm throwing at us this semester that I think most of us look at the life of Jesus, and okay, sometimes we look at his life and we just think it's a fable, like one of Aesop's fables. Remember those? You got like the fox, he's trying to get the grapes, but he can't get the grapes, so he says, the grapes must have been sour. And there's some moral to the story, like we blame someone else when we can't achieve our goals, or something like that, right? Sometimes we look at the life of Jesus and we just think of it like a fable, like, oh, okay, what kind of moral lessons can I learn from this? Okay, you should be nice, like Jesus was nice. Okay, good story. But another way that we kind of miss the life of Jesus is, you know, we actually do the right thing and say, hey, look, this is history. This is real history. Jesus really did this. This is historical stuff. He really lived. He really died. He really rose again. But we look at all that, and that's all true. That's all true. But we look at that and we say, yeah, okay, that's his story. That's a cool story. That's a nice life. So what's this have to do with me? And what this word Hooper is it's what I'm trying to, you know, drive home to us this semester is to say, Jesus lived real life, history, flesh and bone on this earth, and he did what he did not for himself, but he did it for us. That's Hooper. That everything about what Jesus did is he did it for us. And so take a look at this slide. I've got a very brief graphic here. You know, it's an arrow pointing down. Jesus, he came to earth for us. Then the cross. He went to the cross for us. He went to the tomb for us. He was raised for us. One day he's coming back for his people. We're going to talk about all that this semester. Here's what I want to do today. I want to think about something Jesus did. One thing he did while he was on the earth, and that is that he interpreted the scripture for us. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But before I do that, let me read to you this poem. Take a look at this picture of this guy here. Check him out. My man's got a bunch of books behind him, awesome library. He's got artifacts from all over the world in his own personal library. This is a real guy, real man. I forgot his name now. I think his first name was Gene, if I remember correctly. The man has made a ton of money, so wealthy. And he buried the money in the mountains of Colorado. Like straight up to this day, he did this a few years ago. Right now, no joke, right now, there is a boatload of wealth buried and tucked away in the mountains of Colorado. So this guy did this because he said, I can't, I have enough money. I'm not, I have no heirs to leave it to, so I'm just going to bury it, and whoever finds it gets this wealth. So he buried it, and then he left this poem behind. Let me read this poem to you. He says, begin it where warm waters halt and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the house of brown. From there, it's no place for the meek. The end is ever drawing nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek, just heavy loads and water high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down. Your quest will cease. But tarry scant with marvel gaze. Just take the chest and go in peace. Oh, this dude gave us a map, a riddle map, to find this buried treasure. Now, here's what I want to do. What if someone took this right here? What if someone took this poem, which is a map to treasure, and they said, man, I am not interested in finding the treasure. I just like this poem. Great poem. I'm going to study the poem. Look at these cool words. I love these words. These are great words. Look at the rhyme. Look at the symmetry of this poem. What a brilliant thing. We would look at that person and say, are you kidding me? This is supposed to lead you to treasure, to wealth. You're missing the point. All right. I want you to hold that illustration in your pocket for a minute. And I want us to hear a verse that Jesus said. Jesus said this to the Pharisees in his day. When Jesus was on the earth, he said to the Pharisees these words. He said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." What's Jesus doing? Jesus is opening up the scriptures. He's interpreting the scriptures for us. What's he saying? He's saying to us, look, he's saying to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures. You study the scriptures. You study the words that I gave to you, that God gave to you. You search the scriptures because you think that if you'll just get all the words right and you obey all the words, you think that if you'll do that, then you'll have eternal life. You think that the words of this page are going to give you eternal life, that the words are the end of it all. And he says, but that is not true. Look at what he says right here. It is they, the scriptures, bear witness about me. Jesus is telling us, he's telling the people back then, he's telling us today, he's saying, listen, I want to tell you, the scriptures are not there only for themselves. The scriptures are there to lead you to me. But you refuse, look at the verse, you refuse to come to me, he says, that you may have life. You're not willing to come to the scriptures and trace out the pathway from these words to me. But Jesus says that is what the scriptures are doing. The scriptures are a map to me. These words are not an end in themselves. These words take you to me. So take a look at this map right here. This is a map. I found this. Some guy went through and evidently he found all the old roads to the Roman Empire. You've heard the phrase, all roads lead to Rome. Check out this picture. It's like straight up true throughout Europe. Look at it. Like every road Rome built, every road is connected to another road, is connected to a bigger road, which is connected to a bigger road, which is connected to a main highway, which will take you all the way to Rome. The Roman Empire built the Western world with roads. They put roads everywhere. But all of those roads were supposed to take you to another road, take you to another road, take you to another road that took you to Rome itself. Right? So listen, Jesus is saying that is what the scriptures are like. He's saying every verse, every word, every chapter is connected to something else. And that next chapter is connected to a bigger chapter, to a bigger book. And that book is connected to a bigger story. And all of the stories of scripture, all the verses, all the words, which are all connected together, they are a pathway to Christ, to the gospel, to Jesus, to God. And so to not follow out to not get to Jesus from the passage you're seeing, Jesus says you're going to miss eternal life because you're supposed to get to me. I am the treasure. I am the wealth. You're supposed to get to me. So what? So what? So Dave, what are you getting at? Here's what I want to get at. Just as one practical thing, and then we'll be finished, guys. Take a look at this text. This is just a screenshot from iMessage. This is not from my phone. I just found this online, but it's a screenshot of someone who received a text from a friend that says this: "If you want to talk about how you're feeling, I'll listen. If you want to talk about how you're feeling, I'll listen." It's interesting. Is this person sent somebody else a text that said, "Hey, look, listen. I want to talk to you. I'll listen to you. I'll talk with you. Do you want to talk to me? Do you want to meet with me?" That's what the scriptures is. Guys, God has already started a conversation with us. It's called the Word. And it is a conversation that leads to his son Jesus, which is eternal wealth. God has started the conversation in the scriptures. The conversation leads to him. Converse with him. Talk with him. Do you ever talk with him? ever. I mean, I'm not talking about saying, now I lay me down to sleep, or Jesus, thanks for this food, bless me as I eat it, amen. I'm talking about, do you really ever sit down and walk, you're reading the scriptures, you're listening to him talk, and then you talk with him. I mean, are you involved in a conversation with God? Jesus says, that's why I gave you the word. I gave you your Bible as a conversation to lead you to me. Guys, that's why Jesus said when he was on the earth, he said, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. And I will give you eternal life. I will give you rest. I will give you life. You search the scriptures because you think that in them, just reading the scriptures, figuring out the words, connecting the stories, being amazed by the good story of Jesus, you think that that's eternal life, but it's not. If you want eternal life, you have to talk with me. You have to believe in me. You have to hear my voice. You have to come to the cross. You have to kneel at the cross where you see me crucified and dying for your sins. Kneel there and talk with me. Then, he says, you will have eternal life. Guys, I'd like for us to go to small group and talk about a few questions in small group. Here's the first question. Why do you think that we read the Bible